Thanks to the duffel bag, the brown paper bag, the Nike shoe box for holding all this cash. Okay. Boys in blue who would grieve.
Hi, welcome back to the show. It's the Len Martez Show here on the Champs Wednesday here on Blacksburg's ESPN. 1430 Champs Wednesday means we spend some time with this man, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Christopher, how you doing this Wednesday afternoon, man?
Well, I'm doing much better since I had that Champs barbecue sandwich, man. That was delicious barbecue.
Good stuff, huh?
Yes, absolutely, man. I totally recommend it.
I don't know that there's anything that they don't do well there at Champs, man. Good food, good food. Let's talk some hoops, man.
Okay.
Got a big game tonight, 7 o'clock at John Paul Jones Arena. Charlottesville, the Hokies and the Cavaliers go at it. It's been about 40 years since the Hokies went up there to win a basketball game. How big is that gap between the two teams?
It's not that big of a gap from a talent standpoint. I think Virginia Tech might have more talent than UVA, but Tech's just so much younger. Six freshmen in a 10-man rotation. UVA, their top two guys are seniors, Sean Singletary and Adrian Joseph. People talk about Singletary. I really like what Adrian Joseph has done for him this year. You know, he's always been able to shoot the ball. He's always been a spot-up shooter. But they've had so many injuries on the inside this year that he's played a lot of four for them. And 6'7", 200 pounds, averaging 7.8 rebounds a game. I mean, he's showing a lot of toughness this year. They're a difficult offense to defend. You've really got to be disciplined and guard the trailer. You can't let them get out in transition and then let Singletary kick it out to one of those guys that likes to shoot the three ball. They got four starters that shoot 40% or better from the outside. That's tough to defend. As a team, they average 40% from three-point range. Excellent mark. I do think Virginia Tech has an advantage on the inside with Jeff Allen if he can stay out of foul trouble, but it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game.
They're not the best offense that they've seen this year. I mean, I would assume that the Great Alaskan Shootout probably had better offensive teams than what the Cavaliers have. So defensively, they should be able to hang. The question for me and to you is, offensively, can they put up enough points to win the basketball game? Because the Cavaliers don't give up a lot of points.
They don't give up a lot of points at home. Their defense is pretty bad on the road, but you get them back home, and they're only giving up about, 63 points or something like that at home. I mean, it's amazing how different they are home and away. They generally shoot the ball a little higher percentage at home also. But defensively, last year we got the Hokies got them in Castle and beat them 84-57 in Castle Coliseum. And that was with Xavier Dowdell picking up foul trouble early, missing most of the game and only scoring 5 points. So Tech's leading scorer went out of the game, and they still scored 84 points on UVA. They went back to Charlottesville later that year and only scored 56 points with Dowdell playing the entire game. So it's no comparison as to what between them home and away. And Tech is only averaging, I believe, 61.9 points per game on the road this year. They're obviously going to have to step that up.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com here with you on the Champs Wednesday on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430. We talked last week about the Hokies getting off to a good start. They finally got off to a good one against the Maryland Terps. The only problem is they went to sleep in the middle of the first half. Good thing about it was they got off to a good start. What led to that good start? They started Delaney again, too.
Yeah, that's right. They started Delaney. They pretty much figured out when they were starting Hank Thorns earlier in the year, they weren't getting off to great starts. And Hank Thorns has played well since they started bringing him in off the bench. It's like he'll sit there and watch the game for the first 5 minutes, see how the speed of the game is, and he's ready whenever he comes into the game. He gave Virginia Tech a great spark off the bench on Saturday. They do not win that game without Hank Thorns. He had a big shot late in the game. He drove down the lane and hit a floater over Osby at one point. Malcolm Delaney's game-time three-pointer. It was Hank Thorns moving the ball over into the corner, stretching that defense, and then kicking it out to Delaney, who had filled in the open spot. Virginia Tech does not win that game without Hank Thorns. 7 points, five rebounds. Five rebounds when you're 5'9". That's like Jeff Allen getting 18 rebounds. That's a lot of rebounds for somebody that small. But, Tech definitely got out to a good start, and they wouldn't have won the game if they'd gotten off to a bad start, that's for sure.
You mentioned that stretch in the second half and the key baskets down that stretch. The key baskets came with those two guys playing together, Delaney and Thorns, which is a good sign. Hopefully Seth will keep them together for longer periods than they did on Saturday.
I would not be surprised to see both those guys in the starting lineup tonight against UVA. UVA goes with a small lineup. They're going to play four perimeter players and Mike Scott in the middle. So, it's not like Tech Tech's going to have to match up with UVA. They're going to have to match up and be able to guard UVA out on the perimeter. So I could see Hank Thorns getting that start and with AD and Deron Washington playing both forward spots with Jeff Allen as the five, going with four perimeter players and one inside player.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you here on Black Sports ESPN 1430. It's a Champs Wednesday. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe. You know what, Chris? When that game was tied at 59, the Hokies had the basketball and had a chance to take the lead and grab the lead. Fortunately, they did win the basketball game, but during that possession when the game was tied, there was a point where there seemed to be some indecisiveness with the players on the court, not knowing how to run the offense and who's going to take that big shot. And you look down at the season where they've lost a lot of close games to Richmond, Wake, those type of games. When you're in that type of close matchup, you got to figure out who's going to take that big shot.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I think AD Vasayo is your guy right now. If you need a shot, a jump shot, you want it to go to AD Vasayo. Obviously, I think you try to post Jeff Allen up down low, but I think you make it a kind of a two-man game with AD Vasayo and Jeff Allen at this point. That's what Maryland tried to do on their last possession. They got their two best players on the court, Gist and Vasquez, and they tried a high-low. Obviously, Tech cut off the passing lanes, and Vasquez decided to shoot it and missed it, you know, fortunately for Tech's sake. But when you get into a situation like that, when you need a shot at the end of the game, you generally try to make it a two-man game. I think that's what a lot of coaches do. Didn't work for Maryland, but I think Virginia Tech has some options there. I think Malcolm Delaney's steadily developing into a guy who can score. He hit a couple big three-pointers against Maryland over the weekend, so I think Tech has options there.
Let's jump on the other side. Let's move from Castle to the football field, to Lane Stadium. Let's talk a little football. Believe it or not, it's January. And as I said yesterday on this show, the season starts in January when you get the players to come to your school. And that seems to be happening with the Hokies. Two players enrolled. Two more actually decided that they're not going to be part of the 2008 season. What do the Hokies lose by not having Matt Walsh and Bowman and those type of players?
You know, I think, you know, depth is the only thing you could say. Andrew Bowman was not going to be in the two deep. He's a big hitter. Just, you know, never really had the lateral quickness to play linebacker at this stage. Matt Welsh got some playing time at left guard earlier this past year. Yeah, it's obvious that he was going to get passed by those freshmen who redshirted this past year. You know, if those guys already have their degree or their own track to graduate, then, you know, why even continue if all you're going to do is practice every day? So, from that standpoint, you know, I don't think it hurts Virginia Tech at all.
The Hokies do get Alonzo Tweedy and Courtney Prince. What do those guys bring to the table?
You know, I think Prince is an athletic defensive tackle. He's going to this enrolling right now is really going to help him a lot. He's going to get to spend the winter with Mike Gentry. And, you know, Tech will need some defensive tackle depth this fall. And he might have a chance to sneak his way into the two-date, but it's just going to depend on how much strength and how many pounds he can add this winter with Gentry. But it is good that he's getting through his spring practice. Alonzo Tweedy, pretty much a definite redshirt in my mind.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com here on Black Sports ESPN 1430 on a Champs Wednesday. Save the best for last. You and I talked last Wednesday. We didn't know Macho was going to leave definitely. He decided on Saturday that he was going to enter the NFL draft. Then on Monday, the text to Torian Gray, the defensive backfield coach, says, "Coach, I'm coming back." Those 7 days between now and last Wednesday, lots changed in Macho's life. How did you feel initially when you first heard the news that he was going to leave?
Well, you know, I was a little bit disappointed, not for the team's sake, because I always trust Virginia Tech to put good defensive backs on the field. I was a little disappointed that he originally made that decision, because I think he definitely needed another year. I think he could benefit himself so much by coming back, add some fundamentals, working with Torian Gray, a former NFL player and coach, you know, for another season. You're the primary punt returner, maybe kickoff returner also. You return a couple kicks for touchdowns, you shoot yourself up around. You know, NFL starting to like those Devin Hester-type players. Also, I think there's a pretty good chance you could see Macho at wide receiver some this next year. I mean, he's got a chance to be Charles Woodson of Virginia Tech football this coming fall. So I really think he helped himself out by coming back.
And that was the relief from you. You basically were relieved on Monday night or Tuesday when you found out that he was coming back to be with the Hokies. Now, as he's coming back, the talk now, the rumor is that Brandon Orr has filed for the NFL draft. to me, the last couple of days had led me to believe that it's more along the lines of a mutual parting, Chris, where the Hokies coaching staff may be at a point where they've had enough of Brandon.
I think Orr would come back if they give him the chance, and I still think that they're I'm obviously on the radio, so we're going to quote myself, but I think they were going to have a meeting with Orr to just iron out some of those situations. I think he would come back because he knows he would not get selected very high right now in the draft. But
If at all.
But, you know, the one thing he has not done is hire an agent. If he was really serious about going to the NFL, then he would have already hired an agent. He's just putting his name in there in case that's what he has to do. But, you know, he can obviously withdraw it. You know, he's got until Friday to do that. So if he feels like, or if the coaches tell him, you can't come back at all, then obviously he'll hire an agent and go. Or if he feels like, I'm guessing they're going to give him a plan, say, here's what you have to do. You can't do this, you can't do that. You have to go the straight and narrow over the next year if you want to play football. And if he doesn't feel like he can do that, then I expect he'll go.
Yeah, but Chris, we're in 2008. We're talking to Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com. We're in 2008. And no, I wasn't here last January, but I would guess last April or even last June or whenever it was, that plan was already laid out. That boat has already sailed, brother. To me.
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah, to all the stuff that they can tell him in the next couple of days before he hires an agent and decides to go to the NFL, it's already been said to him.
It's ironic. Back when he was a freshman in 2005 and Tech had Cedric Humes and Mike Emo as their running backs, Brandon Orr was clearly the best running back on that team. Averaged over 6 yards a carry. Only lost 2 yards the entire year. Had a great year. Had a few 100-yard rushing games. Really impressive runner, but you know, they didn't give him the lion's share of the work because Billy Height said he wasn't getting things done off the field like he needed to be. Well, he's still not doing that, but yet he is getting the lion's share of the carries when Kenny Lewis Jr. is, I quote, the hardest working player Billy Height has ever coached. Doesn't make much sense to me, but that's the way it is.
Let's say you and I don't talk until next week, next Wednesday, and he does leave. Let's talk about where that leaves this team running back-wise. I know we always pick and choose and we look kind of like pull the meat off the bones and talk about it, but seriously, where would they be if he leaves come Friday?
You know, they've got some options there. I really like Jahre Cheeseman. I don't think Kenny Lewis is in every down back. Darren Evans is, I think, has a high ceiling, but he might need another year because he probably in the wing T in high school. It's a big adjustment going to the I formation. Josh Oglesby has a chance to get in there and earn a lot of reps, I think, with a good spring. Obviously, they just got the verbal from Ryan Williams, who's a top 50 player nationally. But right now, I'm liking Jahre Cheeseman and Josh Oglesby in that role.
All right, Christopher, thanks for the time, brother, as always. And we'll talk next Wednesday. And you know what? Based on the basketball season getting into the ACC schedule, and then, of course, by Wednesday next week, we'll know whether or not Brandon Orr is coming back. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Thanks for the time, brother. Yep. Len Martez here with you on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430. We've got one more segment to go on the show, and like I told Mr. Coleman, and as he agreed, you know, the ship has sailed as far as telling Brandon Orr what he needs to do to get things right. If he's been told already in 2005, this is what you need to do, he probably was told again in 2006. And in 2007, when he came back in August out of shape and couldn't make the times needed for the tailbacks in their hundreds and in their shuttles. So he's been told all this already. I'm all about giving players and people second chances, but we're on number five. Chance number five. Like I said, mutual parting. Don't know whether or not it's going to happen or not, but if it does, that's exactly what probably needs to be done. We got to take a short time out here on ESPN 1430. It's the Len Martez Show, taking you up to 6. Following us, it's the High School Sports Show and George Hunsicker. That and more right here on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430.